You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, beer, cheese, and bread are big parts of our diets, and it turns out they're a big part of human evolution, too. We'll learn more in just a bit. Now, House Speaker Paul Ryan announced last week that he is not seeking re-election for his seat in Congress this year. Ryan said he wanted to spend time with his family and stop being a weekend dad. His impending retirement is the latest and one of the highest profile departures among Republican lawmakers in the House. Ryan has held the seat in Wisconsin's 1st congressional district for nearly two decades. He's been a rising star the whole way up to his rise to House Speaker. His retirement leaves that seat and the race wide open for political hopefuls, such as Democrat Randy Bryce and state Republicans. Harry Enten is a senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics. Harry, welcome back to Central Time.
I'm back.
It's been
Thank
a while.
Thank you for having me back. It's been a while.
Same title, new place. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you wrote a whole piece about our little congressional district here in Wisconsin, Harry. What are you watching for in the numbers in that race?
I mean, look, this is a seat, Paul Ryan's seat, that although Donald Trump won it by, you know, about 10 percentage points, maybe a little greater than that, or right around there, you know, this is a seat given the national environment that could easily be won by a Democrat. And we know from the data that we've seen so far in the special elections that really would not be a big surprise. And Randy Bryce, who we'll get into, the leading Democratic candidate, has raised a lot of money, and there's no real Republican candidate right now that's running that to me looks like a very strong candidate. So it could definitely be the case that Democrats take over Paul Ryan's seat come November.
Let's talk about that national climate, Harry. I know you're obsessed with this thing called the generic ballot. Talk about that and what we're seeing.
Yeah, so basically the generic ballot is a question that's put on national surveys, which essentially asks, in the fall, will you vote for the Democratic or Republican candidate in your district? It does not subscribe names to that particular ballot question, but we know from the past that it's pretty telling of what will occur in the fall, even at this particular time. And the long-term average has had Democrats up by about 8 percentage points. And given where Wisconsin's one is on the political spectrum, that would put that district very much in play given the generic congressional ballot. And if there's a strong candidate on, say, the Democratic side versus a weak one on the Republican side, the generic ballot clearly indicates that the Democrats could, in fact, take the district.
And on the other hand, if there were a big, well-funded national figure on the ballot, like, say, a Paul Ryan, that might skew that generic ballot into a non-generic Republican direction, say.
Correct. We know from the past that incumbents tend to outperform the generic ballot in their district, even in, say, wave elections, which this election could be, although, you know, obviously we're still a number of months away. So if Paul Ryan were on the ballot, I think that most people would agree, most analysts who are being true to themselves would say that he was going to win re-election, probably by a decent chunk, even if, let's say, less than last time around. But without him on the ballot, all bets are off.
Let's look at that Republican side of the ballot. One of the biggest names people have talked about was Reince Priebus. He says he's not running. Some of the state lawmakers, the state's assembly speaker, not running. How important is it to have a name that people know at this stage in an election?
I mean, look, you're still a few months or month and a half from, say, the when people can actually put their names on the ballot, you know, put the forms in. So it's not at this particular time that important, but Republicans better get their act together fairly quickly because the candidates who are right now running are not people who I would describe as strong. And in fact, one of them, Paul Nyland, is pretty much, you know, a sitting duck for the general election for reasons that we could get into if we want to. So, yeah, it's important that they get someone on the ballot that's good, because if they don't, forget it. Given how much money Randy Bryce has raised, it could be a long haul for Republicans come November.
Talking to Harry Enten from CNN Politics about Wisconsin's 1st congressional district, the one currently held by House Speaker Paul Ryan. He is not running again. Let's talk about the Democratic side. Kathy Myers running on the Democratic ballot, and you mentioned Randy Bryce, who's gotten a lot of national attention, not conventional candidates in some ways, an iron worker and a teacher here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing we should keep in mind, right? We still have a primary, so, you know, a lot of the national attention has, in fact, been on Bryce. But Kathy Myers, who's obviously been, you know, a member of the board of a local school board in Wisconsin, could, in fact, win the nomination, although she's raised so much less money than Bryce has, who's raised over $4 million, which would be a strong haul by pretty much any candidate especially in one state like Wisconsin, where, say, the media markets are not as expensive as, say, they are in New York State. So, you know, these are the Democrats have a pretty decent field that's been lining up, a field that was lining up perhaps to take on Paul Ryan. And let me tell you this much. Democrats nationally are looking for blood. Donors are looking for blood in the water. And so the idea of them taking the district that belonged to Paul Ryan is very, very, let's just say, susceptible. Democrats really might be just throw all money into this race as possible in order to take it.
And there's been a long line, getting back to the national level now, Harry, of Republican House representatives saying, nope, not running again this year, either stepping down right away. There was just another announcement today of somebody bumping up his schedule to leave the House. Where are we now? How many candidates are out roughly, and what is that telling us?
Yeah, so Charlie Dent today, who's a representative, a moderate rep from Pennsylvania, who had already announced that he was going to retire, is now saying that he's going to resign in a few weeks. And in fact, there have been about 40 retirements, resignations, people who are running for higher office on the Republican side. And, you know, it's not exactly clear looking in the past that retirements on the whole necessarily tell us very much, you know, in terms of pure numbers. But what we do know, as I mentioned earlier, is when incumbents do not run, those seats are far more susceptible to being won by the other side, because there is still an incumbency advantage in this country whereby incumbents run stronger than people, say, who are not incumbents. And so the idea that there are this many Republicans retiring is very welcome news for Democrats, because it makes winning those districts far easier.
You wrote another piece on kind of the spread, the range of likely outcomes in the race for the House this fall. Can you talk through the most likely and then the extreme cases?
Yeah, so I think that the most likely outcome, based upon all the measurements that we're looking at, is that Democrats are going to take control. They need to net 23 seats at this particular time. And I think anywhere between, say, 20 and 40 net gain for the Democrats is most likely, with probably, say, 30 to 40 is more likely than 20 to 30. But as you hinted at, there's a wide margin of error with that, especially at this particular time. Look, campaigns happen, campaigns take place, and things can change. So it wouldn't surprise me if, say, Democrats only won, say, 10 to 15 seats, but we also shouldn't be that shocked if they win, say, 45 to 50 seats. All of these scenarios on the table, but the most likely outcome is that Democrats are going to gain control by picking up, say, 20 to 40 seats when they need to pick up a net gain of 23 seats in order to take control of the House of Representatives.
And Harry, right now you're in Roomba mode, going around trying to get little bits and crumbs of data off the floor. What are some of the next signs you're looking for?
I think the big next sign is in Arizona. Next week there's a special election in Arizona's 8th congressional district. This is a very Republican-leaning district. Donald Trump won it, you know, by about 20 percentage points. And if the Democrats come close there, and there are some signs that they will, though I still think that the Republican candidate, Debbie Lesko, is favored, if Democrats come close there, it's yet another sign in another Republican-leaning district that no candidate on the Republican side can take anything for granted, and that the national environment has clearly shifted from 2016.
We've talked about the House this whole time, Harry. Talk about what's up in the Senate now. It's a tougher field for Democrats.
It's a far tougher field for Democrats, because pretty much all of the seats that are up, remember, one-third of the Senate gets up every 2 years, pretty much all of the seats that are up are Democrats. I believe it's, what, eight that are Republicans or something along those lines. It kind of changes as people have been stepping down. And so Democrats need a net gain of two, and it's pretty clear where they could get those two, Nevada and Arizona. But then the big problem is, because Democrats control so many seats, and in many in red states, say West Virginia, Missouri, Indiana, Montana, among North Dakota, among others, they have to defend all of those as well. And that's a tough and a long road to haul. So Republicans are favored to maintain control in the Senate. They may even pick up a seat or two, though Democrats could pick up some seats and take control. But that is no indication of the national environment. That's far more an indication that Democrats just got unlucky with the seats that are up this cycle.
And are you watching the Wisconsin Senate race?
I'm always watching everything in Wisconsin. Yes, I'm watching Tammy Baldwin's race. I mean, the polling there does indicate that Baldwin is probably a favorite. You know, Wisconsin, though it was won by Donald Trump, was won by less than a percentage point. And so it would take a shift in the national environment for Baldwin to really be in trouble. But, you know, shifts sometimes happen. So we'll be keeping an eye on it.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics. He joined us to talk about the race for Congress and how the election could shape up in Speaker Paul Ryan's home district, the first district here in Wisconsin.